reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The epistle lesson is found in Ephesians chapter 3 on page 1250 in your pew Bibles. And we read verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, page 1032 in your pew Bibles, and we read Matthew 2 beginning at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born a king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they'd offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where the wise men approach King Herod and ask the question, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. This is our text. One of my favorite stories is that of Sherlock Holmes and his trusted friend Dr. Watson going out camping one day. And as they're lying beneath the stars, Sherlock Holmes turns to Dr. Watson and says, "Watson, when you behold the stars in the sky, what do you conclude?" And Watson says, "Well, it's such a large and vast sky. So many stars. I think about how insignificant and small we are in comparison with all that is out there. I ponder if there might be other beings that exist out there, and just think of what a little speck I am in the vastness of this universe." And Sherlock or Watson turns to Holmes and says, "Holmes, what do you conclude when you look at the stars in the sky?" And Sherlock Holmes says, "Watson, somebody stole our tent." So what do you conclude when you look up at the stars? A little later on today in Bible study, I'm going to be showing a presentation called The Bethlehem Star. Some of you may have seen it. It's at least one of person's rather well-researched inquiry into what this star of Epiphany really was. And to be honest with you, we really can't be absolutely sure. Was it something that just appeared in the sky, if you will, a new star that nobody had ever seen before? Or was it really part of the stars that existed, but a special pattern which trained astrologers who also understood the prophecies of Israel would recognize that the long-foretold birth of a Savior was being announced, if you will, in the skies itself? We may not be able to understand fully what that star was, but what is recorded for us in Scripture is a real historical event. That be it a star that just suddenly appeared, or a pattern of the stars that existed, God was doing something with the sky. He either planned it long ago or just put a new star in heaven. But if that is what happened, as it is told in Scriptures, what do you conclude about this God whom we worship? Who can so manipulate the heavens themselves? Surely, he is a great and awesome and powerful God. When we contemplate his power to manipulate the heavens themselves, we can only stand in awe and wonder before him. But here is the other amazing thing. When you consider what God was doing, God is rearranging the heavens themselves to tell us on this puny little planet a message about our salvation. Not only does the Star of Bethlehem tell us how great and awesome our God is, but it also tells us how important we are in His sight. But what the star was announcing tells us even more about how much this God loves us and thinks about us. For not only is God manipulating the heavens themselves on behalf of us, what the star was announcing is that the God who can do such things, the creator of the universe, is coming to this planet. And here, God Himself will take on human flesh to live in it for the rest of all eternity. And He might redeem we specks made from mere dust to live with Him for the rest of time. I've watched a lot of science shows in my day, and I can tell you that when most people look up into the heavens, they don't conclude how important we are. They, like the fictional Dr. Watson, see our tiny size in this vast universe as a sign that we are nothing, insignificant. But when God manipulated that universe to announce the birth of a Savior, He contradicted for all time the conclusions of the world. We are amazingly important to Him, that He would send His own Son to this earth to die for us. There are more amazing things in this gospel lesson for today. Awesome in a sense, but in a sad sort of way. From all we can tell from the scriptures, it is but three people who recognized this sign that God had placed in the sky. They went to the people to whom the prophecies had been made. And the people to which they came knew the place where the Christ was to be born. We're not told that these three wise men had some kind of special vision from God. They were probably just ancient astrologers who watched the sky carefully. They knew of the prophecies concerning the Christ, one of which is, "And a star shall arise out of Jacob." And using their God-given minds, came to the conclusions that what they were seeing in the heavens foretold the birth of the Savior. But just three went. God was moving the heavens to announce the birth of the Savior, and only three people noticed. Again, that shows forth the grace and the wonder and the mercy of God that He would do such things, even if only a few handful would notice it. But it also speaks volumes about the sinfulness of mankind. That even when they come to King Herod, when Herod inquires of chief priests and scribes, and this thing becomes known, the only ones that go out to worship Him are these three wise men. And there's even more. That Herod later on, when the wise men don't return, would go to Bethlehem. And he would slaughter all those born under 2 years of age, just to make sure he had no competition for his earthly powers. God is moving the heavens. And Herod thinks that he can stop God by slaughtering a few infants. The sinfulness of man knows no end. But thanks be to God, because no matter how few may come to worship Him, He still sends a Savior. He still moves the heavens. Sometimes we feel like we are all alone, that no one cares, that perhaps maybe even God has forgotten. In times like that, we need to remember how much God would do, even if it is but a few that would notice. How God would literally shake the heavens if only three might come and worship Him. What an awesome God we do have. And this God who comes to this little earth to redeem us, and who literally moves the heavens. Three wise men may come and worship Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.